Mini episode 1709 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge Mini Episode 1709. This is FDH Managing Partner Rick Morris coming at you here for our Super Bowl preview, Super Bowl 58, and we have a especially star-studded panel because this is a supersized version of the Callous Remarks podcast gentlemen that we have joining us here. We have a couple of regulars on the podcast as well as another fairly regular contributor that they have on the show. Let me first bring in great friend, FDH Lounge dignitary, Joe Stazek, Philly media legend, TV and radio, and now holding it down with the Callous Remarks podcast. And we do not have a Philly angle to the game as we did last year, so I know Joe is sad about that, but always a true pro and ready to be here and break it down. Joe, as always, an immense pleasure, my friend.
What do you mean? Javon Hargrave is playing? What's the problem? We got the fellow Philly angle going. Taylor Swift's an Eagles fan, huh? Come on. Help me out. Travis Kelce has a brother who plays for it. That's the best I can do, fellas.
Yeah, well, there's probably some some prop bets out there about how drunk Jason Kelce's going to get during the game and what are going to be some of the things he's going to do. And, you know, will Jason Kelce get drunk enough to expose himself on camera? You know, yes.
Lord.
I would say the yes on that one is probably minus 900. I'm not an odds maker, guys. What do I know? So, also in there, of course, Joe's regular tag team partner on the Callous Remarks podcast, and an immensely smart individual here, and somebody who is well-versed on, among other things, the intersection of sports and the law, but many, many different subjects. Somebody who you have heard over the years on appearances on WFAN in New York and SNY. We are talking, of course, of my great friend Steve Callous. Steve, great to have you in. Of course, let's not forget also, too, sports editor at Westchester County Post. That's westchestercountypost.com. Steve, always a pleasure, buddy.
Hey, it's a great honor to be. I see you got a couple of all-stars to join me, at least, so I feel like I'm going to have to, like, try and lift up my game. But I'm looking forward to this a lot, and I appreciate you doing this, Rick, with this star-studded cast you got, especially these other two guys, Joe and Johnny.
Yes, and again, that is, you just foreshadowed it right there. So somebody who is often on Callous Remarks over a period of time, of course, that would be Steve's son, Johnny Callous, regular contributor to that show, and somebody who has been on our show previously. Always great to be able to bring him back in. We get his perspective on this one. A little bit of a younger perspective than us, extremely weathered gentlemen here. So always great to have Johnny on the show here. Great to have you back on, Johnny. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, thanks, Rick. Great to be here. You know, I was rooting for Cleveland to have a Cinderella story this postseason, but maybe we'll be able to talk about that next year. Fingers crossed.
Well, that's funny because I live here and I wasn't. Basically, I'm all on the Fish bandwagon now ever since they signed Deshaun Watson. So, yeah, that was I watched the game that day, and it was that whole you could pop the Seinfeld gif in here. Ah, that's a shame. That's basically what I was feeling watching that one. So, as we're going along here with it. But, of course, the Super Bowl is, of course, in the Vegas area this year. Of course, people refer to it as being in Vegas shorthand. But actually, of course, Paradise, Nevada, specifically, that end of the strip. And one of the greatest examples of all time, I would say, of corporate welfare out there. The fact that if you're on the strip, the foot traffic, the only way to get there directly, they put one of these pedestrian bridges over I-15, and it is at the back of Mandalay Bay complex there. So you have to go through their property to be able to get there. So they have a chance to sell you all these things, including however many shots at the slots on your way back to the end of the property there. Like, whatever they paid the Nevada Department of Transportation to put that bridge there is not nearly enough for however they've made over a period of time. Talk about a license to print money. But in this Super Bowl, of course, San Francisco favored by 2 as we are taping this. Actually, 2 seems to be the average, I would say. That was the opener, and it's fluctuated in some places. But I am going to make some picks here before we get done with the show. I've been making picks all year on the show, and presently I am 9 games above 500 for all games on the year. That's not going to be enough to get me to my fourth year of 52.4%. So what I'm going to do, I don't consider it to be cheating if I'm throwing out extra things here. I'm going to throw out some props before the time we're all done here. If I hit enough of these ones, I can still get it to 52.4% over the course of the season and give me something to brag about, which, as anyone who knows me knows, that's vitally important. But before we get into that, I want to get to something on, you can find it on the main page at fantasydrafthelp.com, and this is going to give us something to react to. And this is material where any way that these guys want to take this, they can take this. There might be things that jump out at them that don't even jump out at me as much, but our 2023 FDH end of regular season breakdown, you can find it there, a statistical index. And we just basically take all of these statistical categories and kind of average them out together to see where they stand. San Francisco was overall second in the league this year in this. Kansas City was 5th. Baltimore was 1st. You see how far that got them. But in the individual categories here, just to give you a breakdown on where they stood, all the categories in the index. The final FDH power rankings for the regular season, San Francisco 2nd, Kansas City 6th. The SRS index, which on Pro Football Reference, and by the way, I have to credit them for many of the stats that we're using here, that's basically their power rankings on Pro Football Reference. The SRS, San Francisco was 2nd, Kansas City was 7th. Margin of victory, San Francisco 2nd, Kansas City 6th. Strength of schedule, San Francisco 12th, Kansas City 24th. A little bit of a glass jaw there. Sometimes that matters in a game like this, sometimes not. OSRS, so the offensive component of the power ranking. San Francisco 2nd, Kansas City 17th. You didn't think they'd be here with a number like that, but they are. The offensive yards per play, San Francisco led the league, Kansas City 9th. Third down conversion percentage, San Francisco 4th, Kansas City 6th. Defensive SRS, San Francisco 2nd, Kansas City 3rd. Defensive yards per play, San Francisco 7th, Kansas City 4th. Third down defense, I flagged this one before the playoffs, and it has been something to keep an eye on. San Francisco only 23rd, and Kansas City 10th. And you look at the drives in those games with Detroit and with Green Bay, and it is one of a thing where they were able to extend drives, and they were able to take advantage of San Francisco's at least relative weakness against the run. So these are definitely things that Kansas City is going to be keeping an eye on right here. I happen to think personally that 23rd and third down defense may be something that comes back to bite San Francisco. They cannot afford to have long drives in the game. So I am going to start with you, Joe Stazak, and just see anything on the numbers that I just read there, if there's anything that either jumps out at you in terms of surprise or potential significance.
Yeah, I think the third down conversions is huge. I think two things are really determine a football game in the stat sheet afterward: turnovers and third down conversions. And oftentimes it comes down to who turns the ball. But look, Baltimore turned it over 3 times against KC, twice in the end zone. There's your ball game. You can look at games like that in critical situations. Detroit, after that bomb that went to Ayuk off the kid's helmet, you know, they fumble right after that, and boom, they're in the end zone a few minutes later. I think that and allowing teams to continue to chew up the clock and keep moving the football, you know, that'll hurt San Francisco if they're way down in that category. Having said that, you know, I look at the 2 quarterbacks and both, I mean, Brock Purdy had a better year statistically, but, and look, he's come through when he's had to. He really has. He came through one drive. He needed to put together one drive in the game against Green Bay and a whole second half against Detroit. Of course, they helped by kind of self-imploding. And, you know, Mahomes, I'm hearing all this goat talk. Yeah, he didn't score any points against Baltimore in the second half, but he didn't make any mistakes either. He kind of turned into a game manager there, which I think is a credit to Mahomes. He's not just a playmaker. He's not just an explosive play guy. You know, Brady, he's kind of like a Brady. Brady wouldn't make a lot of mistakes. You ever see any of those, except for the D-Ford game, and he got a break on that and went to the Super Bowl and won it. I like to bring up D-Ford in case any Chiefs fans are listening. I always bring up him any chance I get. Anyway, you'll notice he doesn't make those mistakes. Didn't have a turnover in last year's Super Bowl. The only Super Bowl, this is his fourth, I guess, in 5 years, which is ridiculous, and third and 4 years at least. And he was not playing well in the San Francisco game. I think he had two picks in that game. This is the one like 5 years ago. I don't think he's had an interception since in a Super Bowl. Didn't have one last year. I don't think he had one in the other game that they, well, after the first half, after the three quarters in the other game. And you don't see him turn over the ball much in the playoffs. The last one I can actually remember was in overtime when he kind of, this is the only time I saw Patrick Mahomes, I think, choke, was in the AFC title game a couple years ago when Cincinnati won in overtime. Other than that, he's pretty clean, and he protects the ball like Brady did a lot. He doesn't have to be an explosive play guy. They don't have, you know, the big guns. You know, Tyreek Hill's no longer there. But believe it or not, they are number one in yards after the catch, the Kansas City Chiefs, if you can believe that, with the receivers they've had all year. And they're coming together, though, at the right time. They're playing. Oftentimes, it's not who makes the most plays. It's who makes the fewest mistakes. And Kansas City's done a phenomenal job at that.
Yeah, I mean, normally a team that just kind of phones it in during the regular season and says we'll show up in January, it generally doesn't happen. Kansas City, of course, has been there all year long defensively, offensively not so much. And again, the one bad Super Bowl Mahomes had, that was one where a great friend of the show, a great friend of FDH, Vernon Turner, who was a longtime NFL player as well as a great author, and somebody who's going to be having a movie made about his life story. Stay tuned for that one. He said at the time he thought Todd Bowles' defense was going to really befuddle Kansas City. And I didn't see it coming, and most of the people didn't, but he was right. Now, the year before, the thing I saw coming that I didn't exactly see coming is that I thought the game reminded me the last two times they met of San Francisco and Miami back then. And as somebody where the Fish have always been my 1A team since elevated to 1. But that was a painful Super Bowl because they were a finesse team that just got shredded by San Francisco. And I didn't think Andy Reid would commit to running the ball enough to basically keep San Francisco off balance. And he did. So 4 years ago, Andy Reid proved me wrong. Steve Callis, I want to turn to you next and just say, again, out of any of the statistical numbers that you heard, anything that has any particular relevance to you or surprises you in any great way?
Well, I think the defensive stats on Kansas City are very relevant because for the first time, I think, in the Mahomes era, they really are a defensive team, or at least they were all during the regular season. The problem to me with the regular season offensive stats on the Chiefs, which are not good, Joe and I did a dozen weeks out of the 18 where we were going, the Eagles aren't the Eagles. They're 10-1, and we're going, the Eagles aren't the Eagles. The Chiefs are whatever they are, and the Chiefs aren't the Chiefs. I picked the 49ers to win it all before the season started, but I also thought there was a possibility of the Chiefs and the Eagles coming back again. I know it hardly ever happens. But what those stats show me is how good the defense has been all year. When you're looking at the Chiefs' offense, I almost think you have to ignore those stats and put them down on a more recent six-game thing. Because like you said, Rick, they are the team that's been able to turn it on. And when we get to actually talking about the game, when you look at who the Chiefs beat in the playoffs, I know we're not there yet. We're still talking about regular season stats. But to me, what the Chiefs have done in the playoffs far outweighs anything that the 49ers have done. And I will also say that I was one who said when Purdy got the concussion, he came back faster than any player in the league. They lost those next two games. I heard Hasselbeck on ESPN say it's one thing to get cleared to play after a concussion. It's quite another to play in an NFL game right after you get cleared to play in a concussion. Those were their three losses in a row. I thought they could have been undefeated if Purdy didn't get hurt. That's how good they were. Now, you can run against them, and yes, you can run against the Chiefs. I know we'll get into that later. But that's what I take from the stats, that Kansas City now has an excellent defensive team, and they really never were quite as good as they are now. Conversely, the Chiefs, most of the regular season, were not a very good offensive team. And even though Joe correctly says they did not score in the second half against the Ravens, don't forget they scored a touchdown, and it was brought back by a holding call away from the ball on the other side of the offensive line.
It's true.
I'm not making excuses for them, but I think the Chiefs have become the Chiefs all caps. The Eagles obviously never became the Eagles all caps. And the 49ers have been the 49ers virtually all season all caps.
Yeah, I think that all of that is definitely true. And the one thing that the Chiefs did, again, they got to be as excellent as they are defensively. I mean, again, first and foremost, we would all say a great mind there in Steve Spagnuolo. But finally having some real weapons to work with, and that happened via the draft, which is the main way that a team has to upgrade once you're off of the rookie QB deal. And now that they're having to pay Mahomes market value, that's where they're at. And I think they went with the experiment this year, aside from Rashee Rice, of essentially, basically, let's call it what it is, just going to Skid Row to fill out the rest of the wide receiver core, okay? That's what you've basically got. You've got Travis Kelce, Rashee Rice, and a whole lot of nothing else. And that's why you saw a lot of what you saw during the regular season. And that opening game without Travis Kelce, it's amazing that Detroit didn't beat them worse in that game, for as unimpressive as they were. And that really sort of augured what we were going to see subsequently from them, even when Travis Kelce did come back. So, Johnny, you've had the benefit of now hearing Joe and Steve's perspectives on this. Any thoughts on what they had to say, and or your own thoughts on any of the stats that we were talking about here? Anything that either surprises you or you think is going to be particularly relevant to the outcome of the game?
Yeah, well, when your weakest unit on your team is led by Patrick Mahomes, you're going to be in pretty good shape. And that's what those
yes.
regular season stats show me. And frankly, that's what the game last week showed me. I mean, Mahomes was great, but ultimately they only scored 17. And if you're Baltimore, you take that every day of the week. But through a combination of the Chiefs' excellent defense and the Ravens' poor decision-making and just, you know, some stupid play calling, they were able to hold on and win relatively easily. So I think a key to this game is just the emergence of this Chiefs offense and the fact that the 49ers are really struggling to stop the run and have been for quite some time. You mentioned those third down conversion numbers, Rick, and I think that's so important. Because what the Chiefs have done this year, they're so different offensively than they have been in previous years. You know, I don't want to say they're totally a run-first team, but they're really built for playoff and championship football. They're not going to be reliant on their skill position guys to get down the field. They're going to be able to run the ball with Pacheco, who's my favorite running back in football. He runs through the ground. He's incredible to watch. If the last couple weeks are any indication, they're going to have a tremendous amount of success running the ball. And if you get Mahomes, especially, you know, these days, into third and shorter medium, he has so many weapons at his disposal, whether it's Kelce, Rice, or his own legs, and just his high level of decision making to be able to convert. So that's why, yeah, I think that third down conversion rate for the 49ers would be really concerning. And I think the fact that the Chiefs, you know, based on the numbers, their weakest sort of unit is the one led by 15, got to feel pretty confident going into this one.
Yes, you do. And I'm going to make a reference that I am somewhat chastened to make here with three of us old guys here and one not so old guy. Going to date myself a little bit here, but Isaiah Pacheco, every once in a while when I'm watching a game with my friends, I will make a Christian Okoye reference when I see him. Now, again, he's got a ways to go to live up to that. But as far as, like, isn't that the first guy we all think of as far as Chiefs power running? I mean, I think that's probably the one that comes to mind. That's the one in my mind anyways. And, yeah, it is something that they're going to be able to do as far as exploiting that with San Francisco. I want to be very careful in what I'm going to say because I don't want to give Todd Monken grounds to sue me. But what I will say is, for people who think the league is fixed, they look at game plans like the one Baltimore put out there. So I'm not saying, I make no allegations about Todd Monken whatsoever. Let this be clear. I hope that the YouTube transcript accurately reflects my comments here. No allegations. But that's why people think the game is fixed. because how could anybody be that stupid? I mean, Todd Monken was a brilliant offensive coach during the season here. Helped this team get to another level offensively. Running backs go down. It doesn't matter. They just go to Kelly Temp Service and pluck another one out and stick them in there, and they're doing just fine on the ground. And all of a sudden, you decide to not run the ball in a game like that. And so it just, again, I'm not saying there were nefarious reasons for that because I could get sued, but there will be people suspecting that. Let me just say that. Those people can get sued if they want to say it publicly, not me, not this guy. But as far as looking at some of the other elements of the game and the matchups here, Joe, again, it is a situation where, as we've been indicating thus far, certainly didn't think Kansas City would be here if they had the kind of regular season offensively that they did. And again, not that Mahomes necessarily struggled that much. There were a couple clunker games here and there. One of the Denver games, one of the Las Vegas games. So by his standards, there were a handful of them in there. And it's noteworthy just because you almost never see those out of him. But again, they are here. They managed to flip that switch in the postseason. Got the right matchups too, by and large, I would say. Basically because Baltimore and Buffalo never show up in the postseason. And my Dolphins, I thought, were ripe to get plucked in that first game. And unfortunately, that was the case. But in terms of looking at this, and in terms of anything we didn't get to thus far, Joe, what do you think some of the overarching keys to this game are going to be, whether they be matchups or whether they'd be decisions to be made by the respective coaches?
To be honest, I think both defenses, and this is easier said than done, but have to beware of the legs of both quarterbacks. I mean, we saw Brock Purdy in the second half against the Lions just kill them with his feet. Mahomes has only been sacked twice in his last 114 dropbacks. His only turnover was in week 16. You mentioned it against the Raiders. I don't remember if he threw, he threw that pick six after they fumbled the ball like at the 2-yard line. They were like back to back. That was his last turnover. But he kills you with his legs. Look, there were some big plays in last year's Super Bowl. The one that they show all the time was his run, 26-yard run to put him into field goal range. And then we know what happened down the stretch. He's hard to bring down. And Purdy, you know, say what you want about him, and, you know, he's had some games this year, whether, you know, bad games, whether it be a concussion or he was not good in the Green Bay game. Didn't look very good in the first half of the Lions game, but he really turned it on with his legs. You know, he doesn't have a magic arm. He doesn't have a lot of arm talent, but he's very accurate when given the time. Again, I think KC's defensive and their pass rush is a little bit more potent than San Francisco's, but I'd be wary of both those quarterbacks changing the game. Keep an eye on the quarterbacks and how many plays they extend each with their legs if guys aren't open. But, you know, when guys aren't open, I mean, Travis Kelce has turned into Travis Kelce again. He's had 191 yards, 16 receptions, 3 touchdowns in the playoffs. I mean, you know, he was dropping balls this year. He missed the Detroit game. I mean, he didn't have a bad year, but did some very un-Travis Kelce-like things. Remember all the problems the receivers had? Well, they're really keeping it in the hands of guys they trust. I know he's a rookie, Rashee Rice, though, but 23 times he's been targeted in the playoffs, 20 receptions, 223 yards. And Pacheco, I mean, I agree with Johnny. He's, you know, if I didn't have nightmares of watching him, you know, clunk, chunk, chunk last year in the second half of the Super Bowl, he is like the epitome of what a running back should look like. He runs through the ground, as Johnny said. His hair's on fire when he does it. He's kind of like a smaller version of Deebo Samuel. But he's just, you know, listen, God bless him, seventh-round pick out of Rutgers. You know, they ate up the Eagles 6 yards per carry in that game. In the second half, they ran the ball when you think they would be passing the ball. But again, and they just kept the ball away from the Eagles, and I think that's what both teams kind of have to do that, but I think really for the 49ers, you have to keep Mahomes and company off the field, whether they can run the ball, and I know we're going to see a lot of that in McCaffrey, but, you know, Steve and I both know that Kyle Shanahan gets a little trigger-happy, maybe a little too trigger-happy at times, especially in Super Bowls, which have defined him so far. This is a big legacy game for Shanahan, you know, but he tanks another one. I mean, that was obviously an epic loss against when he was the offensive coordinator for the Falcons. And then he blew a 10-point lead with 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter. In the last Super Bowl he was in, they gave up 21 points in the last 7 minutes. Chiefs won and covered, by the way. So I would keep an eye on, you know, just some storylines. But he does, you know, he likes to sling it. And that's kind of his signature. And he's a tremendous, fantastic play designer. But, you know, when you look at the defenses, the Niners are giving up 26 points a game in the playoffs. The Chiefs only give up 10 to the Ravens, albeit the horrendous play calling by the Ravens. I give you that one, Rick. But, I mean, you know, the defense is really – they're young. And that's why I like the Eagles a little bit last year, because of their young secondary. But, I mean, you know, they have probably the best – two of the best corners in the league. They're solid back there. So, again, weapons all over the field for the Niners, you know, but they, you know, we have maybe the secondary GOAT, maybe the GOAT to be at some point, and Patrick Mahomes are going to wait about 15 years till I – you know, put him up, if he usurps Brady. But yeah, it's going to be interesting. Look for the legs to make the difference.
Well, I think that's a very good point. And I'm going to say also, too, and I'm also going to watch my words very carefully, as I did about Todd Monken before. Ironically, as I'm about to pivot to the great legal eagle of the FDH Lounge, Steve Callis. But before I do, I'm going to make this point very carefully. No allegations from me, but what you were talking about last year, Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl, first half, he looks like Joe Biden getting off of Air Force One. Second half, he's running around like Secretariat. So for the people out there who think they shoot up players with elephant tranquilizers at halftime, I'm not making that allegation. But that's how those people come to their opinions, whoever those people may be. But in pivoting to you now, Steve, first of all, follow that. Second of all, again, any of your keys to the game, whether it be matchups or decisions for the coaches to make?
Yeah, well, I agree with Joe on the whole Kyle Shanahan thing. Johnny and I were at that Super Bowl Patriots down 28-3 in the third quarter. But, you know, people forget, Johnny can go over the final plays better than me, but, you know, they were up 8. They had the ball in field goal range. I know they ran to the left and had a one-yard loss and then just stupidity took over. And after the game, he said, well, we lost a yard on first down, so we weren't sure. And I think there was a holding penalty and then a sack, and then they were out. And I said to Johnny, even then, if they took three knees and had, I think it was Matt Bryant, kick a 40-yard field goal.
It was, yeah.
It would have been up 11 with 4 minutes left, and the Super Bowl would have been over, I think. But whatever. But on this, you know, the beauty or not the beauty of the Super Bowl is you get bombarded nowadays with so many stats, so many analytics, and I'm just not sure. And the example I'll give you is, look, I love Brock Purdy. I think he's great. I don't think he's Mahomes, but I think he's great. And so when you look at him against the blitz, he's like, has the fourth highest QBR. He's first in completion percentage. He's first in yards per attempt. He's tied for first in passing TDs. Fantastic. And then they put up Mahomes for the season now, which gets me back to their offense, which was no good for like 10 weeks. You know, he's 10th in QBR. He's 14th in completion percentage. He's tied for 17th in passing TDs. Come on. So I kind of throw certainly the Mahomes part of that out. And respect Purdy, because you know Kansas City's coming with the blitz. He's great against man coverage. He's got all fantastic stats. But here are the stats that are most important to me. How about best pass block win rate in the NFL this season, including the playoffs? The Chiefs are number one at 75%. The Packers were number two at 68%. The 49ers are 15th at 59%.
Ooh.
That says to me that they're going to have trouble getting to Mahomes, and the greatness of Mahomes is even if you get to him, he's got an incredible ability to get rid of it, to get out of trouble, to make weird plays, to run for a first down, or whatever. To me, that's a big one. And while the yards after catch are important, the 49ers and Chiefs are essentially tied for first. I understand, I think Joe said they were first, but if it is, it's by a tenth of a yard. So that, to me, isn't a gigantic deal, and I'll say it again. Pacheco's going to run like heck on and Pacheco's going to run. I don't know what these over-unders are, and I don't know if you could bet on rushing yards in the Super Bowl or
yep.
rushing yards per team, but Pacheco's going to have a field day. I really believe he's going to have a field day. And, you know, I mean, the Chiefs are going to get a lot of rushing yards. Don't get me wrong. McCaffrey's incredible. And here's the final stat I give you that is the most important, because to me it's really about the last 3, 4, 5 weeks, all the playoff games. Remember Mahomes, because he went on the road. Well, that's laugh out loud funny now, right? He beat the Bills on the road. He beat the Ravens on the road. But look at who the Chiefs beat
and look at what happens with the 49ers. I think they were lucky to win both games. And I'll just give you one stat from those two games, and then I'll pass it on to Johnny. But the 49ers in their two playoff games gave up 26 points per game and 159 rushing yards per game. Now, you maybe can sell me that the first one we talked about, I talked about this with Joe a lot. The first one, you know, 3 weeks off, maybe. But those numbers, and look, Joe and I talked about it, that Aaron Jones was going to have a field day running, and he did. That the Lions were going to have a field day running, and they did. I don't see how the Chiefs are not going to have a field day running, although I will mention this before I do pass it to Johnny. The latest I heard today on Joe Tooney, and Johnny can wax poetic about Joe Tooney from all the Patriot years and Super Bowl up there, or multiple Super Bowls. Although he's unlikely to play and his pec isn't strong enough and everything you said, today, the guy on ESPN, I can't remember his name, but later on Schefter said pretty much the same thing. But his teammates say that he's holding out to try and play. He's not 100% ruled out. Andy Reid said, quote, he would be a long shot. And Jerry McKinnon, who everybody else has written off with a groin pull, today they said that he was actually at practice and there's a chance he's going to play. I think if a guy like Tooney just walks on the field for one or two series, that's going to be a huge lift. And if he can't do it, he can't do it. But if there's any way that he can get on, I think he will. And I think if he shows up, because, you know, I think Johnny O'Sullivan, he's the best guard in the NFL. If he shows up, I think that's an incredible plus both on the field and on the sidelines. And I think those are the kinds of things that win football games now. It's not really what you did the first 10 weeks of the year. To me, it's what you did the last couple, and certainly, of course, in the playoffs. And if you look at just the playoffs, the Chiefs are better than the 49ers, even though you can tell me about all the stars the 49ers have correctly.
Yeah, no, those are very good points there. And as far as prop bets go, this is something that's very, very interesting to me and very, very befuddling. And as somebody who first started following him, of course, very closely at Ohio State, Chase Young has gotten worse as he's gone along in his pro career. And I just find it to be completely inexplicable. There ought to be a prop bet, if there isn't one already, on the number of hundreds of thousands of tweets making fun of Chase Young running around getting in his cardio on Sunday, because that's been the case in their first two playoff games thus far. Everybody making jokes along the same note watching him play. And we've seen some of the video clips on Twitter, which are just very, very ugly, watching him get beat and maybe not even show so much effort in there. So if you had a Chase Young the way that he was supposed to be a Chase Young paired up with Bosa, then you'd be able to maybe get that kind of pressure on Mahomes. And again, if Chase Young channels his capabilities for once in his life, then maybe that is a game changer here. So I'll just throw that out there. An inexplicable thing that could sway the game is if the guy finally remembers who he is at this point in time. So, Johnny, again, I will throw it to you. And again, same kind of a thing here. Any of your thoughts on noteworthy matchups or any type of keys to the game that you think are going to be of a real overweening importance?
Yeah, just to pick up on that, look, Mahomes, the one Super Bowl he lost really bad, and the reason was the Buccaneers were able to generate an incredible amount of pass rush.
Yes.
So I know a lot of folks look at that game and they say that it's somewhat exceptional because the Chiefs were down both their starting offensive tackles, et cetera. But I do think you need to find a way to generate some pressure on Mahomes. The Chiefs, Steve's pass win block rate stat is really important. I do think their tackles are a little bit of a question mark. Donovan Smith the last couple of years has been a little bit of a question mark. So absolutely, it's a Nick Bosa, Chase Young. Can they really get to Mahomes? The evolution of Mahomes, though, you have to give him so much credit because he really is able to get the ball out of his hands so quick now. Yes, he can obviously extend plays, but we've also seen him time and time again, both against Buffalo and Baltimore, get the ball out of his hands really quick. And that obviously, as we saw, frankly, from Tom Brady all those years, is really in a lot of ways the best way to deal with heavy pass rush. So I think that's the key to the game, obviously the line of scrimmage. Travis Kelce is really interesting. The Niners have two really excellent linebackers, right, in Warner and Greenlaw. when Kelce has been stopped in the past in the playoffs, it's been two reasons. One, Lavonte David did really well against him, who's an excellent coverage linebacker in that Super Bowl in 2021. Kelce, I think, ended up with 100 yards, but they were empty calorie yards when the game was out of hand. But also, Bill Belichick has had a lot of success against Kelce. Really, if you look at his stats, taking him totally out of games. And if there's one guy you want to take out of the game, it's Travis Kelce. And at times, even what New England would do would put a really good cornerback on him, a Stephon Gilmore, a J.C. Jackson. Are the 49ers really willing or able to do that? I'm not sure. They do have those two great linebackers, so those are a huge matchup as well. And I think on the other side of the ball, I think Joe brought this up earlier, but the Chiefs, you know, the Chiefs were so bad in coverage for so long the last few years, but they have two really excellent cornerbacks in Snead and McDuffie, and it allows Spags to do all these creative blitzing that he's loved to do for 15, 20 years at this point. So are they able to, like they have so far in the playoffs, really slow down the opposing receivers? The difference with the Niners, though, as you guys know, is Debo can be used in a lot of ways. You're not just going to check him one-on-one down the field. He's going to get the ball in the backfield. He's going to get the ball in a combination of different routes. Ayuk obviously is really good as well. So Purdy, the key is just get the ball out of your hands if you're Brock. I know obviously he needs to be able to extend plays at times, but get the ball into the hands of the playmakers. But I do think that sort of matchup with those two now excellent Chiefs cornerbacks, something they haven't had in the past to this extent, is really going to be key against obviously the 49ers playmakers.
Yes, very much so. And to pick up on what you said about who to put on Kelce, I mean, that is always the dilemma for any team. I go back a couple of years to when the Browns were playing them in the playoffs, and one of my old friends from the Sports Talk Network, Don Peterson, he said on Facebook during the game, he's like, why don't the Browns put somebody on Kelce? And by the way, think back to what that team was. It had an awful back seven at that point anyway, so what would you have done? But I replied to him, and I was just like, this is what I get for using logic, right? But I was like, Don, who do they have? Who does anybody have who's big enough and fast enough? That's a tough combination. Baltimore put Kyle Hamilton on him, and he shredded him for a good chunk of the game. So, you know, that who you put on Kelce, again, if he's fast enough to keep up with him, he's probably not big enough to bring him down and vice versa. So, yeah, that's going to be one of the things there. If San Francisco can crack that nut, that, again, much like Chase Young, if he channels the best version of himself, these are a couple of the things that could give San Francisco a chance of winning the game if they can achieve either of these things here. So, Joe, I'll throw it to you before we get to our picks here, before we do the round for that one here. Any other thoughts on your part that we haven't gotten to yet? Anything that could be significant in the game we should look out for?
Well, I'd much rather have a Harrison Butker, I rarely see miss a kick, than a Jake Moody, who's a rookie, basically. You know, if it comes down to that, we've seen a young kicker, a kicker for the Packers, miss one that was critical, and we've seen a few of that. Few of those things go on in the playoffs. If it comes down to the special teams, I mean, my money's on Harrison Butker. I saw Jake Moody at the end of the game. It was in Cleveland early in the year, missed a 41-yard. Same day the Eagles lost to the Jets. That was back in, like, December, I believe. Could have been October, but anyway, no, it was October, actually. He's missed three field goals in his last three games. That includes the finale against the Rams. He missed, you know, one in each playoff game. And I think I see Butker. I mean, I don't think he's only missed one this year. I've only seen him miss one this year, and he's a money guy. So if it comes down to it, I think I'll give the edge there to KC. You know, it came down to it in last year's Super Bowl, sort of. Would have gone into overtime if he missed, most likely, but still, that's a pressure kick. I know it was short, but and I've seen Moody not come up big in those situations, and he's a rookie. Look, he's young. Maybe the big game is too big for him. I don't know, but again, I feel more comfortable with a Harrison Butker than a Jake Moody.
Well, and I'll beat Johnny to the punch on naming this one here. The quintessential guy in that regard in the 21st century when we think of this in Super Bowls would be Adam Vinatieri, of course.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, that can be absolutely huge. That is definitely something that you have to look out for in these situations here, and particularly in a close game, which, spoiler alert, I think it's going to be. But, again, before we get to the round of picks here, next we'll stop with Steve. And, Steve, anything else that you think is going to be significant in this game that we haven't covered yet?
Yeah, I'll give you one stat and one player. The stat is the 49ers have the best defense in the league in the red zone, giving up touchdowns. But I think the Chiefs are the Chiefs, and they're going to find a way, because if they're kicking field goals, then they're in deep trouble. The player I did want to mention is Kadarius Toney, who people remember last year, 65-yard punt return. I think he caught a short touchdown pass. But he is a talented, I don't want to say trouble, the talented just makes mistakes sometimes, loses his mind, drops passes. And I read an article about last year where they're worried about him this year. He wasn't around for a week last week with personal reasons or something. And he was saying he was fine when they said he was injured. There's all kinds of stuff like that. But I read a great article. I think it was in The Athletic. By the way, all the stats I got were from ESPN. I could give them credit. But with Toney, it's like Andy Reid, he knows how talented he is. And look, I'm a Giants fan. We gave him away. Why do we give him away? Because he's a talented guy, but he was such a half a lunatic on the team. And on the of course, then the guy goes and runs for 65-yard punt return, you know, in the Super Bowl. But whatever, that's a whole other question. But I think, and so Andy Reid, being Andy Reid, a smart guy, he didn't really have him in the Super Bowl last year. But then when he needed some big plays and he needed something to happen, he gambled with Toney because this guy can catch a punch and run it back 65 yards as easily as he can drop a punt. And that's just the way it is with him. So I would keep an eye out for him. I think if he's in the game, it's what Rick said, it's probably a very close game, which I kind of think it will be. But yeah, the only other thing I'll say is, again, look at who the Chiefs beat in the playoffs and how they beat them. Look at who the 49ers beat and how they beat them. And I think based on those games in the playoffs, I think to me, well, you know who I'm going to pick based on this, even though I picked the 49ers to win it all at the beginning of the year.
Well, very interesting points there. And as a sign that I am trying to be a kinder, gentler person, even if it's around the margins in 2024. When you mentioned Kadarius Toney, I did not do what I would normally do, which is to go, stiff. I didn't do that. So I'm trying to mellow out a little bit and not be so judgmental. But on that kinder, gentler note, I will throw it to Johnny. And Johnny, any thoughts on your part here on anything? There have been so many angles that we've all mentioned thus far, but there must be at least something that through our comprehensive coverage thus far, there must be something that you're looking at that we haven't gotten to yet.
Just a broader point, you know, I think for the most part, the Super Bowl really becomes a fourth quarter game. And I'm not saying you can just wipe out what happens beforehand. But when you have a guy, especially like Mahomes, in the game, unless it's an absolute total blowout, it's going to be a game. And there are things such as turnovers that obviously matter and are important. So I think, you know, a stat that I always like to throw out is Tom Brady in his 10 Super Bowls had a better record when he threw an interception than when he didn't throw an interception. Patrick Mahomes, when he beat the 49ers back in I think it was February of 2020, threw a pick in the third quarter, threw a pick early in the fourth quarter, and then scored 21 points in the last 7 minutes. So it's really about who you're going to trust to make those championship-type plays when it matters the most in the fourth quarter. Mahomes has been there. He's done it. Purdy has the better overall skill set and weapons around him, I mean. But it's hard to go against 15 in a game like this, and I do think this is going to be one of those fourth-quarter games.
I think it is also, too. So what I will do here, I'll lead it off here as we go around the table with our picks. And, again, I am sitting here at this point in time for the year on all games, 141, 132, and 11. I think I needed to be plus 13 by the end of the year, and so plus 9 presently. So I'm going to throw a whole bunch of spaghetti at the wall here and see what sticks. Here's what I got. Kansas City plus 2. I think the final score is going to be 24-20. That's going to make these next couple ones on a knife edge. Under 47.5. Kansas City plus 115 on above 23.5. San Francisco minus 115 on below 23.5. So basically all four of those go together. And if I'm correct, I'm going to be sweating until the end on all of these ones here. Mahomes plus 135 to be MVP. Kelce minus 128 for a touchdown. McCaffrey minus 450 for a touchdown. That'll really hurt me if he doesn't make it. And by the way, if I'm wrong on this one, throw the rest of it out. Minus 1,800, game not to go to overtime. So those are all of my picks here. Those are my 8 picks for the game. And if I hit on enough of these ones, I'll be above 52.4% for the fourth time. And that would be a lot of fun. I can only hope. But normally when I've been on the doorstep, I've made it. This looks like the first time I might not when I've been on the doorstep. The other years, I haven't been that close, to be honest with you. So this would be my first heartbreak of being right there but not being able to convert. So 24-20 Chiefs. I think it's going to be a moderate scoring game because of, again, the defenses involved. And I do expect it to come right down to the end. So, Joe Stazak, do you agree or disagree with me on Kansas City taking it?
I do agree. I picked San Francisco like Steve did as well earlier in the year. They looked like the most buttoned-up team. They looked like the most explosive team. They did have that three-game losing streak. I know Purdy was hurt, and it happens. But when they came back, they smacked Jacksonville around. They went on a run. They went into the link. I mean, they crushed Dallas, put up 42 against Dallas, went into the link, put up 42 against the Eagles. Yeah, I know they had problems against the Ravens. So it's hard to tell because when they've played some very good defensive teams that are very good with their pass defense and with their attack in terms of their pass rush, they've struggled a little bit. But it's hard to pick against, you know, maybe who knows what will happen at the end of the day when all's said and done. But Mahomes, you know, hard to pick against Mahomes when that team is playing pretty mistake-free. Here's, again, I said this early in the show, it's going to come down to the team that makes the fewest mistakes, not the biggest plays. If you look at last year's Super Bowl, can you make an argument? Yeah, Jalen Hurts, maybe. Everyone says, oh, yeah, played at Mahomes in the Super Bowl. Okay, let me give you two mistakes in that game. Eagles had a 7-point lead and are driving. Chiefs had the ball for 8 minutes in the first half. They're at the Chiefs' 45-yard line. Time for the tush push, 3rd and 1. Isaac Seumalo, their left tackle, moves his pinky and gets flagged for a procedure penalty. So now it's 3rd and 6. They can't do the tush push. Hurts tries to do a little quarterback, kind of a sweep play, just drops the ball for no reason, and Chiefs score a touchdown defensively. It's tied up. I know they still went up 10 at halftime, but it came back to haunt them. And the Chiefs, in their 2 Super Bowl victories, we're down 10 points both times in the second half of their victories. I don't count them out of anything. I'm going to go with the defense, the fundamentals, the quarterback, and the defense. I got to go with the Chiefs here.
Okay. And, again, so you're going the same way I am. And, again, I am not inclined to do what I did on Championship Sunday, which, again, if you go back to the numbers that I was reading before, I just deferred to Baltimore and San Francisco because on paper they were the two best teams in the league in the regular season. But, at this point, as much as Kansas City is doing something you would not expect as far as just flipping a switch offensively, they've been able to do it thus far in terms of effectiveness. Steve Callis, based on the tone of your earlier comments, I'm guessing you're going to make it 3 for 3 on Kansas City?
Yeah, I have to tell you, and I remember speaking to Johnny after the second championship game right at the end, and I said, what's the spread going to be for the Super Bowl before it came out? And Johnny said, I think Chiefs -2, maybe -3, and I said Chiefs -4. Again, based on the playoffs, I thought the Chiefs would be a clear favorite. Now, I know there's like a pro 49ers forever thing. I don't know what Kyle Shanahan's going to do in the big spot, as Rick pointed out, as we talked about the Atlanta game when he was the OC. He's had his problems in Super Bowls, and it's a whole new thing. Now, also, as I think it was Johnny pointed out a few years ago, the Chiefs beat the 49ers. There are still a bunch of guys around from that game as well. And if anything, in my mind, Mahomes is a better quarterback, not necessarily a better statistical quarterback, but he has not thrown an interception in his last 6 postseason games. In fact, he has the chance. I know Brady has the record, 237 passes without an interception. That's the all-time record. Brees the second. I don't know the number, but I believe that Mahomes needs 34 pass attempts without a pick, I think, to tie Brady. And I think he has a good chance to do it, even though the 49ers lead the league in interceptions. So, again, to me, you can throw out Mahomes' stats during the regular season and the interceptions he threw. And they put him up on ESPN, and it could be relevant, but I don't think it's relevant now because, again, we're at the Super Bowl. He's played 3 unbelievable games in my mind, including, you know, the cold game. And I'm glad Joe brought it up because it is interesting to me that, and I love the 49ers all during the regular season, the Ravens killed the 49ers in San Francisco. You can make all the excuses you want, but that was not Purdy with a concussion. pretty sure Debo was in that game, but not 100% sure. But the fact that the Ravens manhandled the 49ers and that the Chiefs beat the 49ers and their defense was incredible. I understand what you were talking about, Rick, and they only ran the ball six times, which, you know, you might as well commit suicide then when you do that.
Right.
And I'll go with the 20 because when it, the first night that opened up when I spoke to Johnny, it was Chiefs getting 2.5, which, again, I thought it was a misprint. But I'm going Chiefs 24-17.
Okay, and so pretty close to what I had. We've had a reference thus far here to Kyle Shanahan's Super Bowl for the Falcons here, and I want to say on that one, easily the funniest story I've heard in regards to that game. So, of course, as I mentioned previously on the show, my brother's family lives in Atlanta. I spend an awful lot of time down there with them, and my niece Piper, she was relatively young at the time, so, but, you know, they're watching the Super Bowl, and, you know, they're all happy, and they're up 28-3. She takes a nap in the middle of the game, wakes up, and it's like, what happened? What happened? So, easily the funniest thing to happen since she was born, and my brother and sister-in-law named her Piper, and I went around telling everyone that they named her after Rowdy Roddy Piper. But, well, yeah, just when you think you...
Hey, Rick?
Yeah.
Hey, Rick?
Yeah.
If I could just say, give one story about that Super Bowl, because I was there with Johnny. May of that year, that's when Deflategate came down. Brady got four games, you know, $1 million fine. They lost draft picks, this and that. And I still have on my phone, which I can't play for anybody because it's X-rated, but I have a prediction from Johnny Callis that says, these guys, they come down hard. They're giving rapists two games, and, you know, that was during the race thing.
Yes.
And it goes on and on and on. At the very end, he says, I hope the Patriots win the Super Bowl, and then they boo Roger Goodell off the stage because he doesn't even deserve to be on the stage, blah, blah, blah. And flash forward, we wind up going to that Super Bowl, and that's what happened in the stadium. You could not hear a word that Roger Goodell said because he was booed the whole time he was talking. True story.
That is pretty funny. And again, we'll throw it to you, Johnny. Your thoughts on the game? My guess is, from everything you've said thus far, you're going to make it unanimous Chiefs to win.
Yes, I begrudgingly, or whatever the right word might be, am picking the Chiefs. I think it blows my mind that the Chiefs can lose this game and still cover. There's just something that seems really off about that to me, for Patrick Mahomes to be able to lose a Super Bowl and still cover.
Right.
They're going to be able to play the underdog card again for the third consecutive week. Vegas doesn't seem to have learned its lesson. The Chiefs have covered all three playoff games thus far. The Niners have not in their two playoff games. They're in love with the 49ers. The Niners have been favored in every single game this year. The last three teams I saw as a stat to be favored in every game, the 2017 and 2007 Patriots. 2017 Patriots obviously lost to Joe's Eagles. The 2007 Patriots obviously lost to Steve's Giants. And the team before that, the 2001 Rams, greatest show on turf, lost to my Patriots. So I think the Niners are following a similar script. And then I have to put in one final word for who I think is the GOAT for now and for at least a very, very long time to come, the last team and quarterback to win three straight games outright as the underdog, with the final game being the Super Bowl, were the 2020 Bucks. And I think Patrick Mahomes matches that, even though he won't do it against Tom Brady, which he never has in a championship game. But I think he will match that this time around. And make it three straight games as an underdog. It blows my mind that they're going to be able to play the underdog card thing again.
Yeah, and I wonder what the underdog card on Truth Serum would sound like. How dare everybody remember how we took out a book of stamps and mailed it in offensively in the regular season, you know? I mean, but that's, again, it's an accountability world. People are looking at that in terms of how they're setting the lines. And again, we will see how it plays out. I'm happy that we've been able to get through all of this without any mention of the sideshow of the tight end and the pop star. Would that the broadcast itself would go that way, but we know that it won't. I will leave you all on a somewhat shocking note here, unrelated to the game. As I am looking out my window here, somewhat alarmedly across the street at a bunch of fire trucks that are out there now. So, seems like your old HOA prez is going to have to run out there and see what the heck's going on. So, but cross your fingers for the subdivision here, boys, because I don't know what's going on over there, but I gotta go throw myself in the middle of it. But anyways, a true pleasure having you guys on here, a supersized rendition of the Callis Remarks podcast. So again, Joe Stazak, Steve Callis, Johnny Callis, thank you gentlemen greatly for being here. And again, I'm very, very proud of what we were able to put together here. The rest of the world, go top that as far as your Super Bowl preview shows. But again, our pleasure to bring it to you. Thank you guys, and thank you everybody for joining us for FDH Lounge Mini Episode 1709.